This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb. Today I'm talking with Paramal Kopardekar, who's a researcher at NASA. He's working on a system called Unmanned Aerial Systems Management, or UTM. Thanks for talking to us today, and I was really interested to learn about this project that you're working on. And of course, we've heard about this for a long time from the FAA, trying to figure out how to integrate drones or UAS into the National Airspace System. And a lot of times what we hear from them is that it's all about integration and it's all about see and avoid. And your project seems to be taking a very different approach where it's kind of, well, let's focus on where these operators really want to operate, and that's really not where the airplanes are. So maybe you can come up with a whole separate system that'll just let them do what they want to do and keep them away from the planes. Is that really kind of what you're trying to do?
That's one way of looking at it. I mean, our idea is to make sure we have a system in place that will enable these operations at the low altitude, which is about 400-500 feet, and keep them safe and keep the rest of the population safe with these operations. So the idea is to provide the bare necessary services to these operations. You know, you need to geofence some areas that need to be protected, such as big airports. You need to know what the bad weather and winds are, so that can be geofenced and allow the operations in the Class G airspace to start with in a safe manner. We can, in the beginning, when the vehicle technologies for sense and avoid and autonomous conflict detection and resolution and management are evolving, we could manage these operations with some large buffers and safe buffers among the vehicles.
Now, I know today you put out a notice looking for industry partners, basically people who are interested in using drones and will work with you on trying to develop this system. So what stage are you at? Are you ready to kind of start figuring this out?
Certainly we are getting ready, and we are going to do the testing of this UTM technology with successive builds that will evolve with its functionality. The first build would be focused on trajectory management, so you can upload your trajectories, the vehicles that vehicles want to fly. Other operators, other U.S. operators can see what's already in the airspace, and they can launch their trajectories. They can do query to see which airspace is open, where they can operate. And the richness of this testing and technology will be the more operators and the more vehicles and the more mission profiles use this system, the better it is for everyone. Then it will be much more comprehensive in terms of information and management of trajectories. So the first build will be focused on static display. Second build would add the static display and then consider more dynamic geofencing areas due to winds and weather and things like that. Third build will add more separation management capabilities. And fourth build would add on top of that, you know, contingency management. So we will be evolving the builds, and as we evolve the builds, we will also test it. So it will be using build a little and test a little strategy to get to the point where we all feel comfortable that the UTM system can support these operations.
So you're working on developing this as pretty much an autonomous system, right? I mean, it's not like there's a lot of air traffic controllers sitting around watching these drones. That there would be a system that pretty much works on its own.
Yeah, the idea is to have a system that will be managed by exceptions so that we don't have to rely on human controller to watch and manage every vehicle in the sky. Will be much more automated.
And so what is your timeline? I mean, how fast are you moving along with this, and when do you expect it? I guess at some point you kind of transfer the technology over to the FAA. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so the builds are 12 to 18 months apart, and we will be ready with the first build in about second quarter of the FY15, which starts in October. So we will build it, then we'll test it, we'll make the modifications, and we go to the next build, collect again the way we are seeking the partners who will bring their vehicles, their mission profiles, their scenarios, and then slowly evolve to together. So this is in the more partners participate and more missions and vehicles participate, the richer the UTM system operations will be, and we will be able to demonstrate it in much more effective way that these low altitude operations can take place in a safe manner. Yeah, so we will be starting, you know, to answer your question directly, we will be starting in FY15, second quarter is our target.
That you'll be starting to do what exactly? To do practice, you know, actual tests, that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. And what do you see as your main challenges? Have you got kind of, I mean, is the technology that you need to make this work available, or is there new technologies or breakthroughs that you need to make it get to where you want to go?
Yeah, so there are certainly some new technologies. I mean, depending on the vehicle weight and their payload capacity, their ability to carry sensor packs might be different. So if it's a 100-pound or 300-pound vehicle, then you can carry a 10-pound sensor pack, but if it's a 10-pound vehicle, then it will have challenge to carry the right sensor pack. So the sense and avoid capabilities of the vehicles may be very different. Given that it's going to be different, we need to make sure that the system allows different vehicles and their capabilities. So some of the challenges will be, what will be that minimum separation that we need to assume right from the beginning between the vehicles. Some of these vehicles are fixed-wing and hybrid, so they cannot necessarily stop. The others are multi-rotor, they can hover and stop, you know, just hover around at the same place. So these vehicles are different, but we need to make sure that we have some separation minima laid out right in the beginning so that we can continue these operations. So that's one challenge. The second is, the low altitude wind prediction is still evolving. You know, we don't have good prediction at all low altitudes everywhere. So that's another thing that we need to make sure that we get that right. So again, we will be doing this much more conservatively when we don't have crisp, accurate information. And third is, if you are going to do deliveries at doorsteps, then we need to make sure that we have ability to vehicles to land and take off in presence of people, pets, and soccer balls and things like that. So we may need a different architecture. Again, depending on the weight and the payload capacity of the vehicle, some of the technology and configuration options may reside on the receiver end, where the receiver sends out signal that now it's clear to land, or in other cases, the vehicle may have completely autonomous landing and takeoff capabilities. So it will, again, depend on the type of vehicle and the configuration and the weight class and such. So these are interesting research and development challenges that we need to evolve to when we look at the demand that's going to be there in the next 10 years. But to start in the beginning, in next 5 years, we don't necessarily need to solve all these problems. We can be very conservative in terms of airspace and the scheduling and the buffers in trajectories. Then, you know, we can focus on agriculture, wildlife monitoring, key asset surveillance monitoring, search and rescue, disaster relief. There are lots of applications that can be considered in the beginning stages.
Okay, well, it looks like you're ready to move forward with this, and it'll be really interesting to see how it develops and you know, what comes to pass from all of this research. And I really appreciate your time today. Is there anything else you'd like to add about what you guys are doing?
Well, I think thank you for your time, and I appreciate you sharing this with everybody.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.